Siz beni dinler. Very sad occasion.
You keep on dwelling on it.
What's more sad? What's more sad is that we're not going to Greece with you, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be sad if we're all coming to Greece.
So
you can talk to the finance team.
Yeah, listen, I'm gonna miss your kids, eh? Mm. Yeah.
And you know, as well.
Okay, let's talk today. Yeah, I don't know who I'm gonna miss the most, and I think after tonight, I'm quite sure who is gonna miss the most, and it's not me.
Father, we pray for these guys as they bring us their stories and their reflections on who we are and what we have to, and whatever it is that you want to share. We pray for the baby there to be peaceful and give Christine some time out to come and share with us. And let your presence be all over them now as they release your presence onto us and encourage. And I pray that most of all they would be encouraged by being here, getting this opportunity. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Just to give you an idea of what we're going to share, so you don't expect like one thing and get another package. We got an email like this Monday, I think it was from Jen, just asking us like very simply to, can you just share what you're seeing, what you have experienced, and those kind of open questions. I think we will be able to fit into that question with our thoughts. I thought about now that we have one of our main leaders for many years in the Nordic Vineyards. He kept on for years spurring us on, saying that there are two stories.
I'm probably going to move. Two stories we need to keep on telling, and it's the story of Jesus, and it's our own story. And he was like talking about like the power of just sharing our lives, saying this is where I am, this is what's happening. And Jesus in that will move people, and then he's kept for years and years doing that. And I realized now I was standing here that that's pretty much what we're going to do. We want to share a little bit of, to begin with, a little bit where we come from and how we ended up here. Some of you know this very well, and for some of you it might be kind of brand new, but it's quite an amazing story, and something that we reflect on quite often, because it's a few small decisions changed our lives and changed quite a few other people's lives as well, which has been fascinating. And then we also want to share something on what we have seen, like a few things, and we have experienced so much. It's been such rich 6 months that we have had here. And so if we would touch on like everything we have seen and experienced, I've been blown away by, it's going to be a too long evening. And, you know, I'm getting close to 35 now, so I need to go to sleep around about 9-ish. So we're going to try. I think we focus around 4 different areas that we just want to share really briefly on. I must say, personally, I'm in that season now where I quickly get bored. I quickly get bored of words and people talking and stuff. And like at the Easter camp, I was so amped praying for people, like in a new way that I haven't been in a long time. And that's my season now. So I'm going to try to be brief so we can pray, because I'm like, since we came in there, it's just been like, let's pray. This is awesome. Sure. Worship was awesome, and then you just want to pray even more. So. But still, it feels great to be able to just share something and to give something. Hopefully, we have given over this time in like our, you know, conversations over fika tables, coffee tables, and so on. But just to encourage you in what we see, and because I think that's what Jen was looking for, of just a pair of fresh eyes coming in and just saying, this is what we see. Stuff that you might know already, stuff that you might have forgotten that this is actually happening. And so I hope it will be challenging and encouraging. And we're going to try not to weep too much and be too sentimental and, you know, all that stuff.
I've done that.
Yeah, she's done the weeping already, and guests, I guess, are uncomfortable, and it's too many emotions in the room. So. Yeah, I see. But I thought we're gonna alternate now to try to keep babies and stuff going and so on. So I'm just quickly gonna hand over to Chris again, and then I'll finish.
We chose to let me speak a bit, then we know it will be brief at least. Just to give you a background of our story, and I won't start when we were born because, you know, we've been married since then because it was arranged marriage, but you all know that. We got married in 99 and moved to Gothenburg and joined Gothenburg Vineyard. And because of that, we heard of a church plant being planted in Jönköping, where we still live now. So we moved there in 2001 or something, started planting, and we always have a leaders' conference once a year. And this particular year, I think it was 2001. Yeah, I can't really remember. It's 2003. Very important. And I want you to remember that. There was a leaders' conference in Örebro, and we weren't sure if we wanted to go because we had been quite busy those weekends before. But then we kind of okay, but let's go, because there were some speakers from the US, I think, that were going to talk. And we went there, and there's where we met with Pedersen. Luke, he was living in England, and his parents came just to hang out, I think, with some other vineyard pastors and leaders. So there's where we met the Pedersens, and a few months after that, Luke's father asked us if we wanted to come and help out with the worship in Fountain Vineyard in Port Elizabeth. So we did that for about 8 months in 2004 and 2005. And since then, because then we went back, and since then we've been longing to come back, and our hearts has always partly been here in this country. Something hooked us. I don't know. I mean, Greg's born here and he's been back before I came here. But there's something about this country and you people that just, you know, it's in our heart. And because of us coming here, we talked about South Africa. We were so stoked about it. Some South Africans came and enriched our life back there. And quite a few Swedes and Norwegians has been coming to your country. And they've been very blessed. I know a couple from Gothenburg Vineyard that came. They were burnt out, you know that term. And they were practically, I think, just, you know, soaking God and community and South Africa and any love they could get and rest. And then they went back to Gothenburg, and they, they lived there for a few years, and they were actually able to come back here and speak to the people in Fountain that they stayed with. And they could actually tell them how much that time had meant to them. So, I think sometimes people are blessed and enriched that we never know of. So I think it was very great for them to be able to come back and tell everyone how blessed they were and what major change that was in their lives. My son's a bit hungry. I think my main point there is that you never know what happens, you know. Our tiny, just us, okay, let's go to this conference, then just has turned out to be this awesome thing. to talk a little bit about what we've seen in your church or in your community. this just the true caring of each other, that you actually you care for each other in that way that you you talk about what's good in others. You talk, you actually, something that I've noticed, and I actually didn't think of it in the beginning, but when you speak about each other, you talk about the good. And I know, it's just harder to speak, so I thought I was done with this. Yeah, this is normally what he does to me, actually. It's quite nice. No, but it's an amazing thing, and I think it's good for you to hear that, because it's really his heart to build each other up, and I've seen that, and I'm quite amazed that you, even though things happen and you might not be so, you know, keen to, you might just had a not as amazing day as Luke says sometimes, but you're still you're still there for each other, and what I've seen, you don't only speak good of each other, you also have these conversations where you might point out maybe you should change there, or have you thought about this, because I think that God may be saying this, when it's a bit harder, because it's easy to say, yeah, you're great, you know, but if you see something and you think maybe that's not the best for this person, then you are bold enough to say that too, and because you do care for each other, then people actually listen, and I think it's a beautiful thing we've seen, and also the willingness to help out. I mean, there's a lot of things happening in Woodstock, and most of you are working quite a lot, but if someone needs help, then there's always a few people, you know, willing to help. If they're, you know, setting up something, cleaning, you know, moving someone, I think, yeah, it's been very nice for me to see that. Well, Greg has written something. I think you need to explain the synergy there. And also just to round off, when you what I've seen when I've gotten to know most of you is that you're all in your journeying, and you might not always be in the best place, you know. Sometimes you're grumpy, sometimes you're very happy, but no matter what, you actually you give yourself, you give your time and your friendship and your love, and it's quite cool, instead of just, you know, draw back and wait for this time where you're quite in a good place. I think I'll stop there. I might speak a bit more later, we'll see. Oh well.
Yeah. We are quite emotional, both of us. It's just that I'm much better at hiding it. So that's, it's not such a... Now, I think why we want to point that out is because I think, like, in this place, I don't think there's something that just rocked up when we came here and suddenly you started caring or started helping or started giving yourself in this way. I'm sure that's something, I'm definitely sure, because we have met you guys over the years, some of you, and if you, that we know since long, have been rubbing off on all the others for, like, a certain amount of years, I mean, then we can know for sure this has been going on for a while. And but we also are so aware of that it gets to this point where you actually stop seeing it yourself. You're like, it's just this natural thing, it happens. And it's beautiful when it's natural, was also like good to again and again go back to the place saying this is not just something that everyone around us all over the Woodstock experience every day of their lives. That way of being covered and embraced by people that care on such a deep level and that are ready to just, you know, put their own things aside just to be there for you in the time when you need them. That's like, that's unique. It's unique. Maybe it's even more unique where we come from, I think, because your culture is warm in a sense, but still just to again remind yourself, people long for this, people desire this. Some people don't even desire it because it's absolutely unknown to them that there's something you can desire. And I want to connect to that later on as well. What I felt for the synergy, we had like this point we call community. It's not like a brand new word, so I just had no energy to sit there and come up with these funny words. So I just did community. But what I've seen that's been fascinating is something that we talked so much about over the years of, you know, of the church where when we come together, it's like the body, it's every part of the body, and that's what makes church. And often I've found that we talk about it now, sharing my experience from back home, like in theory it's beautiful, we share this, but in reality it's often some kind of 1, 2, or 3-man show. It's like people come down to be part of this JP show or Caleb show or whatever show. And what I've seen that has been so fascinating, and I think I will be needing a few more weeks and months to like reflect on this, is it's been so clear, like I was in a brand new way to me, how this church is so built on every individual that we have met over the last Sundays. It's like when we look around, we see these gifts, these strengths, like, you know, obviously everything is available to us, but it's just kind of natural that some operates more freely in a specific gift. And it's such a beautiful mix. And often, you know, I've been just standing in the back and just watching this and seeing, you know, like today, Mr. Brad was he's often my favorite in worship. Because I'm standing in the back and then I get to kind of, you know, corner of my eye, just have like Brad there. And you know, he's so awesome. It's like, I just, like the picture I had in the beginning of the service of the worship now, was like this, you know, this kid. Often I think in terms of kids, and it's this free kid, it's just God, Daddy. And like, just like that's one part of this body, this particular Sunday. And just then standing, watching each and every one of you. And so that's why I used the word synergy. I don't know how it's quite well used, I suppose. Back home it's kind of brand new. It's because it's in sync, or it's the whole thing of actually when we would use it in a sense where like basically all these individuals come together and what they become together is so much greater than they could ever be as individuals. And that has been like probably literally every Sunday we have met been reflecting on this, how beautiful this is. This kind of dance of just God moving in us and in you, and together the full picture of who He is awesome. It's phenomenal. So that's what I just wanted to speak out of you and to encourage you in that. And also I'm sure it's like a few of you that can feel this quite clearly. I'm an important part of this church, and you know, obviously there are weeks and seasons where you might struggle, but just to encourage you in that each and everyone brings such a beautiful piece of the whole picture and of the puzzle, and just be encouraged in that and feel like God's heart in that, and that you are, as Gaza was mentioning earlier, like a 24/7 carrier of His own presence, and that's what you bring into service. And then the togetherness, the synergy of what happens when you guys come with the same heart, with the same passion to meet Him and to have Him known in Woodstock. It's been phenomenal just to be part of that and see that take place. And I'm sure I probably will be able to see that in a new way when we get back home to our church now as well, coming with a bit of a fresh Table Mountain eyes into the church. No, it's a lot that we can say on that, but I think we're just going to move on. Another thing that came to mind while we were talking about this, and it was awesome, I realized, quite soon after getting the question of having this little testimony or whatever you want to call it, they should just get the privilege of being forced into reflect already on these this season. And one thing that we have seen that I find so important is that we have not thought any kind of unhealthy pride in the actual building of whatever you are building right now. And I want to encourage you in that, and I also want to challenge you to stay on that course. I'm gonna touch on the whole grace mystery soon, but just in the whole conversations we've had around grace and so on, it's been several times for different guys here have been spoken out saying, just remember that this is not unique. We haven't got the recipe, the one recipe. We're just part of the flavor. We're just bringing something to the whole picture. And this is just one example of how we have felt there's that unhealthy pride that easily rocks up in you, like saying, yeah, we got it, yes. And a few things that I think comes from that, and obviously that comes with a humble approach to your own importance. Not saying that we're unimportant, but just you find yourself quite easily placed in a good place in connection or in relationship to other believers and to God, and when this is in place. But also what we have found is this healthy absence of stress concerning how we must, like, you know, force or manipulate this development. We must just run much faster, and this whole like just waiting and allowing God just to just kind of allow his wind to just move you. There's also something that we have experienced and want to encourage you to stay cool, stay rest in what you know right now, what he has told you right now, and allow him to speak the next word. Even when you get like so excited, and, oh God, can I just quickly run a few steps ahead of you, but just wait for him, because it's so obvious that he's here and this is moving you, and he's moving you into such an exciting season. And I also felt like in connection to that, which at least makes sense up here, that I've also seen such a, it's in that down-to-earth approach to what you do, I found that it creates and builds such a safe place for exploring God and exploring his gifts, his blessings, his presence. And in that, I'd like to challenge you to pursue like the fullness of his kingdom, the fullness of who he is and what he wants to become in you. But also, I want to challenge you not to maybe I should put it like in a way, pay too much attention to the what could be fixed positions like in that place, because it's such an open heaven to actually just explore God and allow him to work through you. But don't hide behind, yeah, we have the prophets, it's Josh, he shares words, that's the gift that we have. This is very basic, but it's also very easy to end up in that place if you're not actually cautious about it. That you kind of shield, because in the end of the service, Josh will bring something, so his ears are awake, I can close my lids. But just to know that God wants to pour out the fullness of who he is over each and every one of you. And I think you're in a place in a church where that safe environment is so obvious. Like, there's so many crazy people here, like good crazy people that do crazy stuff all the time. It's probably no one that's more crazy than old Marcus. but good crazy, and just like use this place to and ask God for everything. When you see, I'm just using his name, but Josh, share a word, just immediately just pray, God, give me a word, I want a word. and you hear like Gaza teach something on grace, and you see it's like awesome, and you get like inspired, and the law flies out through the door, and you just say, God, give me that. I want to teach that. I want to share that. I want to spread it. Like, just, you know, go after the whole package. Don't just get comfortable in your corner, but get crazy. That's basically my, because this is an awesome place for being crazy. I'm a bit sad that I haven't been more crazy than I have been. So I'm actually going to take it all out when I get back home, and they're probably going to throw me back too. They're going to send me back because Gregory, Jönköping is not ready for you. Please go back. No, but so my main point is that lack or absence of unhealthy pride in what you are doing, and just keep on just reminding yourself, and which I know, like the leaders, and I'm sure all of you are aware of, that this is God doing something, this is God building something, and that's only when that is a reality that then something can actually be built that has some kind of eternal value. So that's what we see in your community. That's absent pride issue. Also, as I mentioned before, something that has been, at least I think to both of us, and not least to me, that God's sovereign timing has been just coming into this play, meeting you in this time of exploring His grace again and going deep into that bath of His grace. And it has been an awesome, it has been challenging. I have been listening a lot. It's been an awesome 6 months of listening. I'm not doing, but receiving and reflecting. And it has been so good. And for me personally, it works so well with what God really already is doing. You have met our boys, and they are obviously God's at least top three gifts. I mean, it has been mind blowing and life changing having them in our lives. And as I mentioned to a few of you, I feel almost bad sometimes of how God has, through them, opened this door to His heart through these two boys. And then I meet people that haven't got kids, and I'm like, this is so unfair. I can't even mention it now. It's too unfair. Because it's been such an open channel for me. And I've heard this constant, like, God whisper for like 3.5 years now, almost daily, like, this is the way I feel for you. This is how I look at you, Gregory. And I'm being blown away by my son, like, you know, walking in the evening for the 1,684th time. And I just, you know, I stop and I just look at him, and I look, and I need him to do nothing. I just need him to lie there and sleep. Amen. And I'm absolutely just, I'm so full of a pleasure, of contentment, of joy. And he's doing nothing. He's like, he smells like, you know, his breath is starting to go sour and whatever. It doesn't matter. The love, like that, the waves of love that, like, you know, surprises me. Like every evening, just seeing these two guys sleeping in the beds. And this goes so well with just coming into this place of you exploring the grace. And because that is, I've realized pretty much through meeting you now, that this is what God is like, you know, shooting arrows at my heart with. That's the grace message. This is the Father's love. That is the grace. And I'm still in that place of still knowing there's so much more to explore, so much more to find and to be stoked about. But it's this thirst, this hunger has been so deeply rooted now that I know there's like no way to go back. There's no options. I just have to go deep and deep in understanding how much He loves me. And I was reminded in this of basically two different, the latest revelations God has given me through my sons. And I just thought, while being on the subject, just sharing them with you, and hopefully it can mean something to you. We visited Hogsback up in Port Elizabeth area. And we were walking these trails through the forest, beautiful forest, and I borrowed from Luke's and Caleb's dad this carrier that you carry kids in. and we were walking like quite a tricky path there, and I had Caleb, like, you know, he's like so lame, like jelly, ah, daddy, pulling my hair every now and then, and like just passing through a few trees, like, or not through, beside a few trees, suddenly I just hear God's voice again saying, like, this is what I want to be like for the two of us. If you could only give up this much, just, you know, just, I only want to put you in my backpack and I want to carry you. And I realized how I could immediately see myself in one of those carriers, but I'm like running in the air, you know, like my legs are going, I'm helping dad, I'm helping, I'm fighting. And him just saying, oh, that's fine, it's no problem, but if you could only just, you know, just rest in my strength, in me carrying you. And I was again like, oh, thank you, God. It's unfair, but thank you. And also something else in this journey, I don't know, this might be to just one or two of you or to several, I don't know, but I just felt compelled to encourage you to be so honest and be so true in this adventure and go all the way. Go all the way, but be so honest and be so true. Because I felt like, you know, the pride in me has been challenged, you know. You have like a few years, you've been on the road, you've been part of the game, and suddenly these guys start talking about this new aspect of this Sunday school part of your faith. And you feel like so challenged, and you feel like just saying, yeah, I know that, yeah, that's cool, I'm living that full, I'm like, I'm there, I'm in the zone. It's like, it's tempting just to be that guy who is already in the zone, and just to challenge you and to encourage you to just be absolutely honest about where you are in all this. And if you, 6 weeks or 6 months from now, when these guys have been, you know, preaching the same message again and again and again and again, if you still feel like I'm 100 yards, I'm 1,000 yards away from grasping this, like, just be honest in that place and pursue nothing but fully diving deep in this pool of grace. And in that, also encouraging you guys to keep on preaching it, keep on preaching and keep on throwing this picture or this vision of the Father's love, and in every possible way you can. Because what I felt, what I was reminded of then, which is another of those God revelations, was me and Scott, old Baines, talking at the Easter camp. And I can't remember how we came to talk about this, but he mentioned this first time when one of his 14 kids lied to him. It was so obvious that he now lied to him. And he shared like his whole reaction to that and how he dealt with that. But that made me think of like Matteo trying to lie to me, because up to this day it has never happened. And obviously when it starts happening, he is going to be so bad at it. So I'm going to see through immediately. He will probably be better around 16, but before that he's going to be terrible. And I just felt this deep sorrow, this deep pain, just, you know, even imagining that he would lie to me. Not because it personally screws my day up or something, but it's just the whole idea of that he is not in that place. He's in a place where he feels, I need to lie now because the truth is not good enough, so I need to lie. And I just felt this pain and sorrow, like thinking, imagining when that day will happen. Like, I was praying immediately, like, God, he must never lie. And God said, it's going to be difficult for me to pull through now with this. And I said, okay. No, I didn't. But and I just could so easily connect this to this, hopefully it will be helpful for you as well, in this place of being honest and being true. It's the Father's love. Ask you, if the God the Father asks you to be so honest, to be so honest. I'm sure you know a lot of nice synonyms for honest. Apparently, I only know one. But just be truthful. Just be so honest and truthful in this process, and obviously in all other aspects of how you approach him. But just know his pain. It's not like a pain of. It's not like he suddenly hates you or he disowns you. He still just reaches for you and reaches for you. But just the pain of a father when his son or his daughter deliberately just lies to him, because and you realize he's not safe enough to be true, to be honest with me. I mean, just that pain. And in your journey, in your grace journey, in your journey with each other, and in your journey to explore the fullness of God and the blessings he wants to absolutely shower you guys, and just explore it from that place of being so true, being so honest, and know that that's his heart for you. No matter how ugly and how dirty it is, that's what he wants you to talk to him about. Because that's the place that he loves, and you are going to love it as well. Yeah, I'm sure the time is a lot more than I planned for it to be. The fourth point that I call the final challenge is probably my main point. And what I've tried to, and what we wanted to kind of, I guess the picture we wanted to draw is a picture of something that is absolutely phenomenal and beautiful. Not only because you guys are amazing people, but because you know an amazing God that through you does amazing things. And what we have seen in your community, in your humility to what you do, and your in this grace journey, and in every other aspect that we could have touched upon tonight that we're not going to do, we can send you newsletters. We've seen that it's so awesome, and the words that have been stuck in my head is, give it away, give it away. It's too good not to give it away. And as I touched upon earlier, we must never think that this is default set for everyone we run into. For some people, it's so obvious for us that, okay, these guys are probably not socially in a good place. But there's so many out there that's just longing for this kind of deep, deep connection, obviously with God, the Creator, and His love for them, but also a place of community where that love can be projected through how you guys deal with each other's lives and issues and so on. And it has been... The word funnel has had a lot of impact on us, our lives in this time. It's been entering in all, and I'm not going to go into all of the different funnel versions we know of. But I've heard a word like lorry funnel or whatever. What was that at the conference? Tunnel and funnel. Yeah, I've been thinking more of, it's a glory tunnel, but I've been thinking more like a glory funnel. And I must say, I'm... And I must say, our presence or our stay here with you guys have been like, you can use tunnel or funnel, you choose. We all have different references to the word. But it has been a long, I'm going to use glory tunnel just not to confuse a few guys here. You can ask them via chat later. It has been really like a long glory tunnel. I realized when we were having the Skype conversation now with his friends 2 nights ago, and just trying to, you know, just tell them how awesome this is and why we're not long for home. And we try, let's just tell me about today. And I just thought, like, you know, just telling me about hour for hour about today and yesterday and tomorrow we're going to, and this place and people, and we have all these friends with Arnos and this place. It has been this 6 month daily secondly treat. And again, it's too good not to give it away. It's too good to keep. And I had this awesome conversation, or at least I found it awesome. Maybe Caleb just laughed about it. But we were at the cafe the other day, and yeah, no. No, but what I told him, and I don't want to say this at all to put unhealthy pressure on you, or, you know, to like put a yoke on your shoulders, but I told him that just, you know, coming from having seen a lot of church plantings happen, a lot of church being built and made and tried out and whatsoever, I just say that from this perspective, I give it away. If we would return a year from now, God, please let it happen. If we would, I would honestly be so sad to just find the 25 of you in here. And it's not because I have this great vision for mega churches, and I bless whatever movement prophecy that's happening. Please, Lord, let it happen. But I'm just saying, just to find you guys in here, it's I would be so sad, and mostly I would be sad for the people that I run into every day in the park, at ShopRite, in the stores. Because this thing you've got here, this treasure, this diamond, is too good to keep. And the challenge that we want to pass on to you is really like to press in, to ask God for creativity in ways, new ways of just giving it away. And again, give it away and give it away. And you don't have to pull out this amazing conferences out of your pockets. It's basically, during the worship, like the thought that came to my mind was, oh, if only this and that guy, whatever, would have been here now. Just being in the room, just seeing this family worshiping, just sensing the something that he cannot identify, but which is the Spirit of God starting to operate his heart, saying, this is, I'm here for you now. So just invite and yeah, I'm not going to go into that, but just my words are just, it's too good to keep it. And as individuals and as a church, give it away. Draw people around you into this love tunnel. And I and just I mean, yeah, I changed now because we have. Writing, do you have fun in your preset? No, but I know quite a few of you were part of that evening when I actually was babysitting, but I got the glory part of it anyway, when you kind of mid-service just went out to meet people. And it was not like a lot of this, like, yeah, 14 people got saved and 13 healed and so on. But, I mean, I know all of you that were in that room felt the energy of coming from that place of just giving it away, and then just sharing these stories of people's reaction and like small like first steps of responding to whatever happened. But that energy of just knowing that this God must be so precious on your heart for us to give this away, and just feeling like in the atmosphere, like the Spirit of God, like, you know, rejoicing with us in these stories and people getting amped, and this is awesome. And I know, like, all of you, and I do have, like, so many stories like this of when we've tried to give it away and what God kind of just imparts in us immediately of just this realization, this is good, this is right, this is awesome. And obviously, also in the church and in conferences or wherever you go, just bless people and give it away. I was so proud on I think third evening or something at Easter camp, going to check on the kids and coming back, and just seeing this like this crowd of Woodstockers just moving in the crowd, people being asked to be prayed for, and you guys just moving in between them, just putting your hands on, sharing words. Was my weakest glory sound so far. No, but I was honestly so proud. I couldn't even take part. I was just standing in the door like, oh, it's so beautiful. So, and that also connects, so I would just give it away. And I think a word, so really, keep giving away. That's my last time I'm going to read it out so I don't get it wrong. Keep giving it away with the same intensity and commitment that you have given it to us. That's our word. And I thought I'm going to borrow my friend Marcus' Bible here, because I've already, unfortunately, packed mine down. The English one and the Swedish one would make a lot less sense to you. But I just want to, we just want to finish off by using Paul's word in Ephesians as our prayers, our prayer over your guys' lives and over this church lives. From Ephesians 1:15. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people who are His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. Amen.
I was just thinking, if you guys have two more kids, you get another couple of months. I think you have triplets now, what do you get? 18.
Triplets is probably pushing for 1,000 days. Yeah.
2 years. A good thought.
Has crossed our minds.
Great. Just, I would like to affirm you guys and. Well, all the things you've been saying about your reflections here, I felt like you guys came here with those things in you already. I felt like you, the things you've identified here as being key or like that have stood out for you, have actually been in you guys. And I don't think that that's been a rubbing off from us. I think that's like that's the bonus, that's the extra part. But I think you guys have really come here with those things. So I wanted us to thank you guys. And also thank you for taking the risk to break out of the Swedish mold.
Svensson.
We joke a lot about it, but it's a really hectic thing. And I think you guys have done a great thing for yourselves and for your children to just to demonstrate that, like, that you're willing to put other values in front of what Sweden values, Swedish society values. It's a great thing.
Our intention is to pray for you guys.
You guys first, for the second meeting you were here in the hall, I've got a picture and we were praying for you guys and if you guys were coming, like this big present for us. And I've been reflecting on that picture for the last couple of weeks. And all those things you were saying were actually things that existed here, but also I think there was like this, you guys brought to it, there's this like, difficult to explain, but it's almost like the reinforcement of it that you brought and like almost pouring more concrete into the system, and we are just so grateful for what you guys have brought and God's sort of hand that is used, how He's used you guys, just to like lay the concrete. I'm the building industry side of the fast yet.
Chris can explain.
Love it.
and I'd just like to affirm you publicly as the godfather of the Cortada.
Oh. You had a fat white too.
Yeah. I'd like to say as a community, everything, what really struck me about what Julian said is that he prayed over one of the guys here. He says, your starting point is my greatest achievement. So I like this like prayer to you guys, everything that that God has given us here, our greatest moment here as a community, I pray that unto you guys and say that's your starting point as you go back to Sweden.
Mm. Mm.
Our greatest moment here is your starting point. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to say, I was not
quite amazing. He really, like, he brought such an element to us in the last 6 months. So there's really, like, I can't really picture, you know, you guys not being here. So it's a bit strange and weird. But the one thing that you've modeled to us in an amazing way, in a fresh way, is as a couple, like marriage. And it's been, it's profound. It's just you being together, you're interacting, just everything, you know, the sum of all you are together is really encouraging, and I think it's deeply spiritual as well.
It's important to know me and myself in your life stage at all, so it's a huge vision thing. So thank you.
So it's almost like you've in the spirit imparted something that you already are unintentionally to us. Just how cool. And it's really nice. It's an amazing thing to see a family, like a family, just a family together that's just one with the Lord and in unison with each other. So, sure. Thanks.
I remember Chris said at one point that if the only thing I accomplish is making people desire to have kids, I'm happy.
Chris, I'd actually like to rebuke you for that.
Rudy, Rudy.
Oh man, we got to pick up the pieces here.
So that's what I thought when you started sharing like that gift, and I realized now, I thought you would say the gifts were Caleb and Mateo. But I think they were part of the gift.
I think while we're filming, it's quite nice. Chris, the thing you always say to me, but I want to say back to you guys, is that you always say with art that you think people do ask very brave, and I know that as much as you love South Africa, it's not Sweden in many ways, and my specific way is just getting out of your comfort zone and being safe, and you guys have been very brave to come to all stuff that you did see on Street View. We did explain that the park was full of
screens
and glass, and I remember like building up, we've got here until you guys said yes, we're coming, and then I remember well, actually, the park has got this huge fence around it, and the house, you know, it's purple. But you're aware of all these things, you're aware of everything, maybe not some things, but
not some running things,
but you were aware of all these things, and you were aware that you were afraid of them, and you guys still came with your kids, and it's been such an amazing testimony to me and my faith with God, just to watch you both walk closely with Jesus, and like that book I don't know if you've ever even read it, but you brought with you about how the less safe you are, the more safe you are with God, or it was like something like that, was like the contradiction, and whether you read that book or not, you lived it, and that's really touched us, I think, in that you're choosing to be here. You chose to be here, as much as we're choosing every day, but I've been to Sweden. Quite a choice. So thank you so much for that. Just, you really lived what you preached.
It was a bit challenging when I talked to Caleb and I asked him, why is that fence around the park? And you would imagine he would have chosen quite a nice sentence there to encourage us, but he basically or literally said, no, it's just that they can't steal kids. And then quickly went to the website thinking, can we cancel this ticket? No, not really, but it's like, he didn't want to put us in that place and not knowing what we were coming to.
It's
very clear.
Thanks for sharing your kids with us, so. We've all enjoyed them.
I want to share your kids. I think I've told one or two people, but it must have been about three Sundays ago. It was three or four, I don't know.
Just after
Easter camp. And I walked into this door, and then I had this, Matteo just saw me with his eyes, and he ran, and he gave me a hug, and I was like, actually, that whole service, I was shattered. Yes, I want kids with it, but like, now you speak how Chrissy said, yeah, if anything, she wants to leave wanting people to have kids. But you live that as much as she does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think great.
The word that I had while you were speaking was that I wanted to tell you guys that you must go and be in Sweden. That was the picture. Just to go and be who you are there now. Like, you had time to refresh again and to remember those things, but nothing's changed. You know, you are, and you must go there and you must be that. Don't do anything else. So that's like the adequacy of God of your life. He's given you everything you need to go and be who you are there.
I think on behalf of Matteo and Caleb, I think I want to thank you all for just playing with them and loving them and being with them and choosing to. It's, they've had the best time here.
Mm-hmm.
I know Caleb is very young, but for me, the more people who love my kids, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the greatest thing you can have actually in life, is to be loved. And they've just had they've had an amazing time here. And I'm just so grateful, because one of my biggest fears for your sentence about the first and that I was absolutely sure someone would try to kidnap. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you know, fears aren't so logical.
Yeah.
But coming into your community and no one had kids, I was like, oh, we've been to do everything and no one wants to go, you know, all these before we came. And then being here for 6 months and seeing you embracing them and us as a family, I know it's not always, you know, easy. And it's just, yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so, yeah, no words there. Did you get it? Yeah. And Matteo says, when we talk about going back, I will miss South Africa. He gets that, you know, to different places.
Okay, let's pray for you. We're going to speak some vision over you guys. Prophesy.
Lovely.
Can you hold each other? And we hold you.
He means that next to each other.
Thank you.
feel like being in that African funeral where they throw themselves at the coffin and wail ridiculously.
Come on, man, you're focusing on the negative. Years in eternity, come on.
Tell the people that I'm laughing at the truth. I had a good point from Jess today.
Yeah.
It's not to say that they're going, they should be glad they can.
Unselfish.
That's terrible. That's a terrible way. Oh man.
It's just such a joy over this family, Father. And even though they are leaving, Lord, there's a joy that they go and just embrace a new season, and there's a joy that they leave behind, and a fragrance. And although we will miss them and we will cry, we will feel the effect of them. And yeah, we thank you for their presence and their preciousness, Lord Jesus, and just their being here as a family. And this, yeah, it's just been such a beautiful time.
Give them clarity when they get home in their personal relationships. I just pray that you would give them the words to echo what it is they've told us tonight. I just feel like there's people at home that need to hear what's on your heart and what has been on your heart. And God, I pray that you would speak words through them to their friends and family and to people that come across their paths, that this isn't just for themselves, but as always, you have a greater plan at hand. So I pray, Father, for that plan and for hearts to be open to hearing new words from you. That they would bring a fresh fragrance to tired hearts.
See you guys going back and all the things you said tonight, like tenfold, being that in your community, just being a beacon of how to do life, how to really live. Release your freedom over them to be unashamedly free, joyful, celebratory all the time. And you're unshaping.
God has given you guys a gift of seeing life in a different way. I see the picture clearly now of it being like a lateral way rather than a vertical way, as there's no there's no ladder, there's nothing that you guys are climbing towards. You're not on a race towards something or the next best thing, but you see and you prioritize life in a lateral way, which is how God sees it. Certain things are more important than others. So I want to bless you guys in that. Continue to choose things that God sees as important and watch how He unfolds them. Don't be scared and don't feel that you need to pursue things in the other way. You're not being left behind. There's no race.
While I was worshipping earlier, I had this picture. Earlier today, I was holding my cousin's son, and he's, I think, 4 or 5 months. And you know, when you hold a baby, that baby really relies on your hands and your arms completely, or the baby will just, you won't even be able to keep his own head up. And I was just loving that during worship. But I had a sense as well that God just wants you to stay in that place where you know that you're in his arms. That you can just rest. And he wants you to go from South Africa. Yes, you rested, but he wants that to continue. He wants you to take that home. And he wants you to show that to people that you encounter. Maybe it's not just in Sweden, maybe it's all around the world. You're going to take that with you. So just allow him to hold you both.
Now, just 2 words for both of you. Firstly, first word is the Lord is excellent. And the second word is the Lord is in control.
Because of that transparency, and also it's such a model like of grace, because you're allowed to be in this process and be growing and just like, yeah, just trusting God with wherever you're at. And when you go back to Sweden, then you've learned so much, and people might not be able to identify with everything that you've, like, that's happened to you here, but I just want to pray that you will continue to live so transparently, and that people will just open their hearts and their eyes, that God will just open people's hearts and eyes to receive and to, yeah, to really perceive what it is that he's modeling through your family, and yeah, and just the way that you are living and just demonstrating so many things about him, and his joy and love, and
just came to mind when the disciples were afraid and they'd locked themselves in that room, and they thought, you know, all hope had gone, and then Jesus walked through the wall, and there he was with them. And I don't, maybe it will make more sense to you, but those things that you can't imagine how he will be there. Or how this will translate into another time and another place. He will walk through that wall, and he will be there with you.
I seen a picture of you guys on a canoe in Vietnam, paddling in these really funny outfits, wearing very bright, colorful outfits, looking for a jacket. And I think God's saying to you that you must go back to Sweden and be very funny, because you have the joy of the Lord. And that'll be just easy to sustain, life of joy. Are you wearing like these big purple leggings? Good. And you guys can do stuff like that. Step out. Step out and enjoy.
I felt on that word, God was saying that you've always been different, and people have always known that you're different, but this time around, God wants people to know why you're so different, why it is that you stick out so much. And it's not sticking out in a bad way, it's a way that is so desirable. People long for that same kind of freedom that I saw now in my mind. People want to be different, like you've always been.
I think I can just clarify that. Thank you, service. I saw this picture of a big shoe, a
really big cartoony shoes. Almost, like, it was so big, disproportionately, that it had to be God's shoe. And the nursery rhyme, there wasn't a woman who lived in the shoe and had so many children, no one knew.
No, Lord.
You were living in the shoe. And the reason the shoe was empty, that God's foot wasn't in it, was because it was on holy ground. And God just saying, it doesn't matter how, but I will always house you on holy ground.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. 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 Oh.
One of my favorite sort of lines that I remember, just like watching how much you guys love each other, was this one time you, Chris said, I can't remember the context was, but said about Greg, said to someone here, Greg's actually really funny in Swedish. Just like backing him up because English was. Oh yes, Greg is funny.
I was praying and I said, God, what would you say to these guys? And I thought, God, I'm saying, I love them. But he said, like, I really, really love them. Like, it was wild, and he was doing it in so many different ways. So I just thought that was great.
Can you show me a few more ways?
Have them. Like that. Yeah.
Lord, send people to receive them.
Mm-hmm. 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 I just had a sense from Isaiah 41, the scripture for you, almost as though you're going to excuse me, go. And there's going to be a bit of a battle, I think, when you get back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt that this scripture, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I called you. I said, oh, sorry, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and I have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be dismayed, for I am your God.
Mm.
I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you, and with my righteous right hand, all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish.
Mm.
Oh, Lord, Father, I just pray your strengthening in the most wonderful way, Lord Jesus. This is not a scary thing, and it's an exciting thing. It's your glory that's going to shine out of the two of them, Lord Jesus. That they go back different from how they arrived. Not from anything, but just from the way you have strengthened and girded them, Lord Jesus. And as their feet touch that ground, Lord, we just pray that your glory will become more and more evident in them.
Yeah, I see you guys breaking down conditional acceptance.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow.
You guys coming back to
unleash unconditional acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if someone else can finish it. I just have the word engine room.
Oh, ready.
Finally,
got Jesus.
I think it really ties into me what I've been thinking the whole night, just that.
You're bleeding.
Am I bleeding?
You hit your head. Oh, your Lord. Oh, man.
Stigmata.
Pouring out the. What the?
Oh,
you're Marta. I see Marta. Good one.
What I've been seeing is that one of the things that I admire the most, one of the gifts that I enjoy is stability, and
you are a couple of deep stability.
Mm-hmm.
People of deep stability. You are the people that are like backbones of things. Backbones of, and I think that fits in with what Bradley's saying, the engine room, like the most important room, the room that just keeps going.
Yeah.
Even when it's running on E for enough. And I just really speak that over you. I just speak this more of the stability. And people I saw them when Friedrich and Maria, when they had such an admiration for you guys.
Yeah.
Deep admiration. And they just like they just wanted to walk. So not I have this picture of them walking on you, but it's different. It's like not walking over you, but walking on you. You're using you like
platform
to like get to this, the building up their marriage and building up their relationship with the Son, and most importantly, building up their relationship to God. The platform getting closer to this what God wants with them.
Yeah.
And I just speak that over you guys. More Lord, more of that stability. And Greg, I've been having a picture of seeing you in a recording studio, but it's not just a recording studio. It's a recording studio in your house. And I just speak that over you.
Yeah,
that you are going to be helping young artists. You're going to be producing your own stuff and just more Lord onto that.
Man.
Triple that, double
yes,
that.
Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, I see exactly the thing that Joshua did from Julian about everything that you guys have seen that you've enjoyed here. You guys are going to start there. You're not going to have to go through anything that we've gone through to get to where we are now. Release that freedom of you guys to believe on the good things that are now yours. You will be a platform of unconditional acceptance and freedom. The engine room. Such a good thing, a beacon of joy. And as you said, Greg, the honesty that you guys are going to walk in, and it's going to be so refreshing in Sweden. It's going to be so refreshing. It's going to be a breath of fresh air when someone is finally honest. So, Father, let your mercy, pour your mercy out on them now. Jesus, that they would be grappling and enjoying your goodness. That tension over and over again every day. It'd be such a release of just freedom to just enjoy on you, God. And to think on and to pursue. And to be a beacon, be out front, to be before. To be creating a wake. To be creating a platform, going ahead. Sweden, Scandinavia would be impacted by something that comes from so left field. A light, a freedom, a genuine, authentic life before Christ. Yeah, we pray for deep, deep laughter and deep tears in their lives back in Sweden. Real, real awareness, God, of your heart. Everything you've seen here in Woodstock of the poor and the needy and the desperate, if you go back with that burning inside of you for these faces and the places, people he's already shown you before you came here. Of your people, your things in Sweden. We bless whatever they touch, God. We bless what they touch. We bless the things they start. We bless the things they're going to say. The places, we speak opportunities for you guys to bring God's truth, life,
places for you to speak, places for you to minister, to get to pray over people on the streets, to sing songs over them, to organize mothers' clubs, to teach people about parenting, opportunities. We release those things over you guys.
Also, is that a picture of almost this line of people, and that each and every one of them had a rope around their waist, and they were tied back. Mm-hmm. And just that a picture of you all walking with an axe and almost chopping that rope off, and just allowing the word setting the captives free, just allowing people to be free, and allowing people to run wild.
Yes. Yeah.
So just take that axe with you, chop those chains.
I'm reminded of you being the anchor, Christine. The tug of war. I think that's a nice imagery to go with you from camp.
I pray for friends for the boys, especially for my you just provide friends instantly for him.
Yes.
I also feel like God's saying to me, saying to you, to me, why do you think I gave them the Weaver, that big prize? I saw it on your deck, just entertaining people with this, the Weaver going full tilt, Greg doing cortados Saturday morning.
The Godfather.
The Godfather's got to carry on. Establish a name.
We release a coffee machine.
So when you come back in a year's time, there's going to be more kids there. I'm married, it's another married couple.
I said to Josh, he's worried about a present. It was actually something more personal. God is going to make a deposit, a gift from you guys.
When you come back in a year's time, you pray you
over that.
Oh.
I'd love one.
No. I just don't know what should that say.
That's what I'm doing. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Taiwanese prophet. People, two homes should travel in between them often. We have that in Swedish.
That's a good one.
Guys, we will probably be leaving our home at about, I don't know, maybe 4:30 or something tomorrow. 4:30-ish, 5:00. So for those of you that want to see us before 4:30-ish, 5:00 tomorrow, you mustn't just run off now.
And also, if everything works out as we plan for it, we will have what's this called? Field office lunch. So whoever is available or whatever, we're just going to go. It feels like it works. Really nice lunch. Mm-hmm. So that would be a nice lunch. So if you don't see us,
when are you going to Sweden? I don't know. Are you going to watch movies?
Yes.
If you mean working today.